It's rare that we get to preach on Paul's great hymn to love in 1 Corinthians 13 outside of weddings. If you've been to Catholic weddings, many of them you get sick of hearing this reading to a certain extent. But it's an incredible reading. And it's like so many things that becomes so cliche that it's like it loses its power. That's true with love in general, right? I mean, the word itself and the concept is the most overused, oversaturated, over-cliched word probably in every language. And yet at the same time, we all know that love is the deepest, most meaningful, most significant, most spiritual reality that there is in the world. I mean, we could all make a playlist right now, right, of 100 songs about love, like off the top of our head. Right? I mean, music gravitates to this because it's at the core. We don't know much about the meaning of life, right? We're always trying to figure things out, but we do know one thing, which is that love is somehow at the heart of it. And we're always trying to figure out what it is. Right? So Paul gives us a glimpse into that today. And so a couple comments on this great hymn to love from St. Paul. The first thing I think we should do is define what it is. And St. Thomas Aquinas formulated a definition that I think is still very helpful and one that I think gets at the core of what love is. And Aquinas says that love is willing the good of the other as other. So that's how he defines love. Willing the good of the other as other. You know, it sounds a little abstract, but it's really not. Wanting the best interest of the other person for their sake and not yours. Okay. Notice a couple things about that definition. The first is, in that definition, love is not primarily a feeling. Love is not primarily an emotion. Love is not primarily affective engagement. Love is willing the good of the other. Right? Often inclusive of feelings, right? And of course, we all know that in many relationships in which love is at the center, the initial attraction and the desire for that relationship is constitutive of what that is. But we also know that love is more than a feeling, right? Like I should break into that Boston song, right? More than a feeling. Love's more than a feeling. It's bigger than emotion. Because we can all think of loving actions right now for which we don't get pumped about. And yet we know it's the right thing to do for the other. But of course, I use the example of like, if you're a parent, like when you have an infant, right, and they start screaming in the middle of the night. Like, what parent, like, gets real excited about that? You know, like, yes. Like, I've been waiting all night for this. You know, like, this is so exciting. Like, honey, let's go. Like, this is awesome, you know? Like, no. But of course, you do it, right? Because you will the good of the child. You know the child's dependent on your love. Right? So if love was totally synonymous with emotion, right, we'd have even less love in the world than we actually do, right? So love is more than a feeling, according to this definition, right? Often, obviously, often inclusive of emotion, but not totally to be identified with it. The second thing is those two words at the end are very important. Willing the good of the other as other. In other words, it's not love to want the best for the other person if it gives me something. Right? So it's very easy to want the best for someone else if I get something in return. Right? Or if willing your good gives me some benefit. But it's not love. It's a kind of pseudo-love or something. Right? Can be self-interest. So those last two words, willing the good of the other as other, right, are extremely important and something to sort of focus in ourselves, like how often do I love purely for the sake of the other? Or am I always thinking, what is this going to give me back? Right? Because whatever that is, that's not love in its purest form. And love in its purest form is willing the good of the other purely for their sake. Right? This definition, plus Paul's words today, I think highlight two extremes in probably every culture, but certainly our culture about distortions of love, right? And I'm going to call them, for the sake of a lack of better terms, perfectionist love and permissiveness love. Right? These are two extremes that people that think they're doing them think they're loving, but they're not. Okay, so the perfectionist lover, and I know we apply perfectionism generally to ourselves, but this is to take the standards with which you hold yourself to perfection and projecting them onto others. This is suffocating love. This is overbearing love. This is the kind of lover or pseudo-lover who thinks it's their mission in life to fix every error that you have, to fix every mistake that you've ever made, to correct every falsehood you ever say. Right? This is the suffocating lover who never listens to Paul's words that love is patient. In other words, love lets the beloved grow slowly and gradually. This is the kind of lover that didn't listen to Paul's words that love endures all things, that there's an enduring quality to love, that the lover allows a bunch of crap in the beloved. That the lover allows a bunch of stuff in the beloved to gradually grow. Right? So this kind of perfectionist pseudo-lover, right? We all know him. Right? We avoid him at all costs. Right? You do not want to be around this kind of person for a reason. Because they don't understand the nature of love, right? Which is to be patient. Imagine if God loved us in that way. If God loved us in that way, we'd all be in big trouble. Like if God did not patiently love us, right, and put up with our crap. Right, God loves like that. Right, so perfectionism, loving people through that lens, it's a pseudo-love. But the other extreme is also not love. Permissiveness. Right? Permissiveness says that it's never my place to possibly take responsibility to help another onto a better path. Right? That it's never my responsibility to challenge another. That it's never my responsibility. Who am I to criticize how you live? That's also not love. And we know this like with other things. Like the permissive coach, right, is a terrible coach. Right, the coach that says, like, I'm not going to try to tweak your swing or your shot or whatever because I don't want to offend you. It's a bad coach. They get fired very quickly. And the same is true in the moral life, right? Because the permissive pseudo-lover identifies love with tolerance. And they're not the same thing. Tolerance can be included in love. Right, and that's actually what the first lover, pseudo-lover, doesn't get, is that you got to tolerate a bunch of stuff. You got to endure things. You got to be patient. You got to tolerate. But love is not to be totally identified with tolerance, because love sometimes demands, right, that we call out another. So, of course, when we're offering that word of encouragement or challenge, we learn to do that with charity and so on. But the whole idea that we never are called, right? Jesus challenged the heck out of people, right? Actually, Jesus is a beautiful model of neither the perfectionist lover nor the permissive lover, right? Think of what he did with the disciples for 3 years, right? He gradually introduced them to the mysteries of the kingdom. They made tons of mistakes, and he kept coming back, right? He was an incredible lover in the sense of patience and endurance, and yet he was always challenging people to live better lives and to make better decisions and to love more. And so somehow we have to find the middle ground between perfectionism and permissiveness. The final thing is that, according to St. Paul, love is the only thing that will last into eternal life. And that makes sense precisely because that's what God is. God is love. So the only thing that will endure, Paul says, is love. Not faith. Faith will be gone in heaven. Won't need faith. You'll be seeing the object of faith. Won't need spiritual prophecy. Won't need the sacraments. Won't need anything. all there will be left is love. So it's a reminder in that great passage that of faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest because that's what God is. God doesn't have faith and God doesn't have hope, but God is love. And so the central mystery, right? And that's worth sort of scaring us a little bit. It's like Paul says, if you have faith big enough to move mountains, but you don't have love, you have literally nothing, Paul says. If you have all the spiritual gifts in the world, and you can prophesy and heal and interpret tongues, and you can do everything, but you don't have love, you have nothing. If you have all the knowledge and wisdom in the world, but you don't have love, you have nothing. Love is the only thing that will remain. And so, friends, I would ask that we recommit ourselves to this word that and reality that is so easy to sort of cliche. But that litany from Paul, I recommend to all the couples that I prepare that they print it out and they tape it on their mirror in their bathroom or in their shower. Because if you try to live that every day, I mean, there is nothing harder in the world. But yet it's the greatest adventure in the world to try to love like that. Right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not boastful. It doesn't brood over your opponent's injury. Right? It's not arrogant. It's not boastful. I mean, that stuff is hard. And so to put that in front of us all the time to challenge us to continue growing in that kind of love, the love with which God loves us, the love with which Jesus modeled for us. A few months ago, my dad owns a music venue in Port Clinton, Ohio. And he had an artist up from the 1960s, Peter Asher. Does anybody know Peter Asher? He was in a duet, Peter and Gordon, right? He lived with Paul McCartney for 3 years, and he just had fascinating stories. But anyway, their number one hit in the 60s, Peter and Gordon, was A World Without Love. If you remember that song, but I've been listening to it a lot the last month. And his last line in the song is, I don't want to stay in a world without love. So friends, at least in this corner of Northwest Ohio this week, right, let's love exhaustively. And let's make sure there's plenty of love to go around.